This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Welcome to Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at scifinoise.com. I really like saying that. Oh, wow, that's weird. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network, which can be found at deliberatenoise.com. Anyway, if you would like to leave feedback, go ahead and go to the website and leave a comment there, or you can email me. My email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. You can also call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. You know, I tried to actually call that number to see what... to see what message was there and what it sounded like and all that kind of stuff. But because it's a Google number and it's connected to my cell phone, it just wanted me to log in. And I'm like, yeah, I can't even remember the number. the login number. Anyway, this show is going to be about feedback. I got a little bit of feedback from episode 34. Rick Hansen left a comment on the website. And... I have a little bit of time before my next meeting, big mover and shaker here. So even though I should be doing something else, I need to procrastinate. And as I'm procrastinating, I should point out, I'm actually working on the issue that I have in the back of my head. But in order to make sure that that process gets processed, I have to keep the forefront of my head busy. And I'm going to do that by podcasting. That's right. It all makes sense. And if you ever need to procrastinate, there you go. I gave you a good rationale. and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to read most of it. And if you want to read the whole thing, just go to the website. And like I said, it's in the comment section for episode 34, Continuum's Renewal. Rick starts off, if Continuum needed to find a new home, my first thought with TNT, but you're right, they're more concerned with their own properties nowadays, even though their best show, Leverage, is gone. Actually, I don't agree that that's their best show anymore. The first couple of seasons I thought were pretty good, you know, but after a while, it got... I don't want to be insulting because once again, they made a show that I could never make. I thought that it's one of those things that were to me, I thought that at times the acting was better than writing. And at times I can't even say that I was about to say in the writing at times better than the acting, but I don't think that way. I think that that was a show built on personalities and that's why it was so good. But when you take those personalities and you put them in these situations, that's what made the show to me. And there were times where they wanted to explore the personalities without actually putting them in a situation, and that kind of lost me. I don't know if that made sense, but yeah, quite frankly, depending on what you're looking for, I don't think Leverage is their best show. You know, if you're looking for I think that there are shows that are more true to what they're trying to be. You know, Leverage, at times it seemed like it wanted to be a comedy, and other times it wanted to be an adventure. Sometimes it wanted to be Oceans, you know, the Oceans movie, or Oceans 11, 12, 13, however many there were. And other times it wanted to be something all its own. And you know, let's say in the end it was just a vehicle for Timothy Hutton, but at times it wasn't really even his show. He was there. And, but, yeah, I mean, it's weird. I think that there are things that are more closely aligned to what they're meant to be. I think Rizzoli and Isles is a good example. I think Franklin and Bash is a good example. I think Dallas is a good example, you know, of keeping more in tune with what you want to do. I would say Falling Skies, but as we'll talk about in a second. Yeah. Anyway, next up, I can't believe you haven't seen Sharknado. It was high comedy. Please believe me. My wife and I could not stop laughing and or gaping our mouths at the outlandish leaps in bad character judgment, implausibility, and sheer ludicrousness of this film. It is worth watching simply because its only redeeming quality is how ridiculous it is, from the plot, special effects, and acting, to its creative liberties with actual science. If you listen to this show and you don't listen to Comic Book Noise, and this may not make sense, but if you listen to both, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the whole concept of Sharknado just seemed wacky to me, okay? And I'm not a big fan of wacky. If you pay attention to me on Comic Book Noise, you know I'm not a big fan of wacky comic books or wacky cartoons. I think that that is something that peaked with Bugs Bunny. That's about it. You know, I think maybe some episodes of I Love Lucy, but beyond that, wacky just irritates the hell out of me. And it just seemed like it was all a whole bunch of wackiness. Anyway, here we go. What did you think of the Falling Skies season finale? I enjoyed this season much more than the second. They really got creative with the stories told around what could have been a very static plot. It was nice to see how quickly they set the new status quo at the start of the season and hit the ground running, unafraid to make major changes as the season wore on. My only complaint about the show is its narrow focus. It seems like the people we see are the only ones in the world fighting the aliens, and they are holding them off single-handedly. I would like to see more layers and a richer environment, one I can believe is still moving and evolving when our heroes are resting between battles. I think I've probably mentioned this on the show. If I haven't, I really meant to. I may have mentioned it on TV Noise, maybe even Comic Book Noise. I know that I've mentioned this before. Falling Skies, not about this. TV in general has what a lot of us, when I say us, you'll see what I mean in a second, call the one Negro rule, which is basically there's one black face on a show, okay? Now, there are times when you can't have two black faces, but they have to be one man and one woman, okay? Unless, of course, it's a show about a black family, in which case things are reversed and you have to have a white wacky neighbor, you know, or a white best friend. Can't have all black show. And then there are a few examples, but for the most part, on television in America, you cannot have an all black show. You can have all white shows, but you cannot have an all black show. So what a lot of shows do to show that they are diverse is they will have, like I said, the one Negro rule. All right. If you have a black man and a black woman, one of them gets more dialogue time than the other. But for the most part, like I said, it's usually just one major or major minor black character. Okay. Now, on Falling Skies, it started off with one black character. And this, I feel sorry because I've never been able to remember the character or the actor's name. Okay. But he was one of the guys who hung out with Noah Wiley's son. He was one of those guys who would like go out and find stuff. Anyway, I can't remember. He was on the show, and they introduced another character named Jamie. Now, I remember Jamie very well because Jamie looked like he was going to be an important character. He was their engineer, you know. And on top of that, this guy had really long braids. And as I asked my friend David A. Price, who do you think takes care of his braids? You know, because, I mean, when you have braids like that, they have to have some sort of upkeep. Right? You have to get them tightened up. And the way his were tight. You know, he had some really good-looking braids. So he would have to have somebody do that. But I've only ever seen one other black woman in the place, and he seemed to have absolutely nothing to do with her. Okay. Now, the episode where they introduced Jamie is the same episode that the first black guy decided to leave with Pope. If you remember when Pope left for a while, he took him with him, right? So I was like, okay, well, that's kind of disappointing, but of course they have to stick to the one Negro rule, right? Now, as cynical as this may sound, you will see why this whole theory bears fruit. Now, for a few episodes, Jamie wasn't the second in command, but he was the first they turned to when there was a big problem. Like I said, he was their engineer. He was their inventor. He was the one who got things to work, you know? He was a really good character. I liked that character. In the episode where they brought Pope back and the other black guy, and when I saw both of them, I thought, uh-oh, either I'm going to make it to the end of this episode. I just have a bad feeling. And, spoilers, they killed Jamie off by the end of that episode. Okay? Now, even though I knew it was coming, even though there is a one Negro rule, and I am very well aware of it, to be that blatant about it really turned me off from the show. You know, I stopped, I shook my head, and I haven't watched it since. Okay. Now, I know that something similar has happened over with The Walking Dead, where they've had pretty much a series of black men who have come on the show and have left only to be replaced by another black actor. Okay. I don't know because I don't watch Walking Dead. Okay. But not for the same reason that I don't watch Falling Skies. Basically, what happened with Walking Dead is I liked the first season. And when I heard that Darabont left, I was willing to give the second season a shot. I watched the second season. And the first, like, three episodes, I was so bored that it was like, wow, okay. And I think I got like partway through the fourth episode. I'm not even sure. All I know is I got to a point where I said, you know what? I've got other things I could be watching. This show is boring the hell out of me. I'm done. So, anyway, to answer your question, what was your question? What did I think of the Falling Skies season finale? Didn't watch it. Sorry. Then he follows up with, oh, and by the way, I do agree with him. Falling Skies, it's just one group of people, but that's how they always are. Although when I was watching the show, they did kind of always mention like other groups out there fighting. I don't know if they stopped mentioning them or what, but that's one thing that's always bugged me about certain, shows. They'll say that this is some sort of worldwide event, but they only focus on, you know, like one group in America, excuse me, in North America, excuse me, in the United States, excuse me, on the, well, I'm about to say on the East Coast, but it's usually on the West Coast or someplace where there's desert, you know, and they're the ones doing the fighting. So it's either a urban ground or it's somewhere in a desert. I don't know. Anyway, but I agree. If it's a worldwide thing, it should show something happening elsewhere in the world. Anyway, I don't know if this qualifies as sci-fi, but I've been checking out Under the Dome this season. It has felt very Stephen Kingish from the start, but I think BKV, Brian K. Vaughan, is keeping things really interesting. It's easy to put mysterious things in place like this dome or the hatch and Mist and Lost, but when it comes time to explain them, shows have a hard time closing the deal to the viewer's satisfaction. I totally agree. I think Lost has proven this, most of the time that's because they haven't figured out what they want to do with it. They think, well, you know, this would be a pretty cool thing to do, and then that's it. You know, what was it? The 1400. That was a show where I think that they had a miniseries worth of ideas, and then after that, they're flying by the seat of their pants. You know, that's just me. They thought, okay, you know what? Instead of this being, well, I'm not going to. If you haven't seen the 1400. I think you can still see it out there. Definitely watch it, especially the first miniseries, or it might just be the first series. It had a great twist at the end, and then it got weird. Then it became Heroes, to tell you the truth. But Heroes was another one. You know, they had these ideas, they were going to put them in place, and then they just petered out. I still have to watch like the last season and a half of Heroes, to tell you the truth. So I'm not going to say anything about Heroes, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It's one thing to put in like a mysterious item. Okay. If you've seen the show Cabin in the Woods, there were times where they put in these mysterious items, but they weren't the focus of the show. The focus of the movie. So they didn't really discuss them. You know, they might have mentioned it, then they moved on. The problem with Lost, and I'm trying to word this so that I don't spoil things for people who haven't seen Lost, but there are things that they make a big deal about that is there's never any resolution. And I'm about to spoil Battlestar Galactica, so the new version, so sorry about it, but this perfectly illustrates my point, right? They made a huge deal about Starbuck dying and then Starbuck coming back, and they never explained what that whole thing was about. That's why a lot of people didn't like that whole series finale. Me, personally, I don't mind it if they introduce some mysterious things, some things that defy explanation. I don't have a problem with that. Just don't make it the focal point. You know, don't make it the focal point. Like Under the Dome, they have to explain the dome. They just have to. Otherwise, it's just going to be one of those shows where people are like, oh yeah, that was pretty good, but then I stopped watching because it made no sense. I heard it ended poorly. Finally, I'm pretty bummed that Matt Smith won't be Doctor Who anymore. I'm sure the new guy will be fine, but it's hard to say goodbye. I think it's a risk, however, picking somebody older at this point. The younger doctors help make Doctor Who accessible to younger viewers, which would result in advertising dollars for the network. I worry about the adjustment period concerning the show's ratings, even if they are putting out good stories. I was under the impression that Doctor Who was paid for by the BBC, which gets their money from British viewers. So any kind of advertising money that they make from BBC America And didn't Doctor Who used to also show on Sci-Fi? Or am I getting that mixed up with Battlestar Galactica, which used to show on both networks? When I think that anything that they get from America is just gravy, you know, so they don't really, you know, they don't really factor that in. I would agree with you, except the Doctor that I grew up watching was always older. In fact, the trend towards a younger Doctor each time, with Christopher Eccleston, sort of made me uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable because I'm a cranky old man, but uncomfortable with, like, where are we eventually, if they had kept going in that same direction, we would eventually end up with, like, a teenage Doctor. And yeah, that might bring in some viewers, and especially some long-term viewers are going to stay around for the ride. I don't think it's going to bring in a whole lot of new viewers. You know, I mean, if you have a teenage Doctor, even if he's like a 19-year-old Doctor, you're not going to get 19-year-old people. You know, 19-year-olds like, oh, that's bull crap. You know, watch something else. Yeah, right. You know, plus, he's like 1,200 years old, so it doesn't really matter. You know, yeah, he could look. I mean, yeah, the actor could be younger, but I don't think it's really going to matter in the long run because it's still Doctor Who. You know, wow, what I was about to say was pretty offensive and sexist, so I'm going to reword it. There may be some young women who are attracted to the show because of Matt Smith and David Tennant, as he was no ugly guy either. But I think that anybody who's going to come just because the lead actor is so dreamy really doesn't care about the stories. Or what else is going to go on in the show. And I think that that's what a lot of Doctor Who fans really like. You know, so I think that any young women who liked the show for Matt Smith, or David Tennant or Christopher Eccleston are still going to stick with it, even with the older guy, because it's still the Doctor, it's the character. And even though the character always changes, there's still always something familiar about the performance of the actor that the character always seems familiar, you know? So, there you go. Plus, everybody's talking about how he's so old. You know, watch some classic Doctor Who. Watch, like, the first, let's say, three Doctors. All right, and these were old men. And it was a show for children, and they still dug it, you know? And if they're really worried, they can always, I don't know, they can go young. What was it? Mary Jane. That's because I'm looking at a trade paperback of Spider-Man right now. Sarah Jane Adventures with the late Elizabeth Slayton. It was a really good show, and that was geared towards younger people, you know, just like Torchwood was geared towards adults. Doctor Who's always been like in the middle. It's something that adults and kids could watch. My son loves Doctor Who, you know, although for some reason he won't watch the Donna Noble episodes. I don't know what the deal is with that. And he's not a big fan of, like, anything before Eccleston, but every now and then, because he says it looks too cheesy, but hey, to me, that was part of that's always been part of the appeal. I don't know if I ever told this story, but I remember I was over a friend's house, or it might have been, I was over somebody's house, I don't remember exactly who it was, but anyway, I was over their house, and in the Detroit area, they used to show Doctor Who and Dark Shadows back to back, like after school. I remember one of their friends came over and they saw Dark Shadows, and it's like, okay, Dark Shadows. Walked, you know, did some talking, came back on, and Doctor Who was on. It's like, wow, this looks really, really cheesy. And I remember thinking to myself, well, they both look really cheesy, you know. But I guess people have, I guess in the post-Star Wars era, people care more about their science fiction not looking as cheesy. I don't know. Anyway, Matt Smith was a good doctor. And I think that Peter Capaldi is going to be another good doctor, you know? I think that he'll have a darker edge to him. You know, not just because of that character he played in In the Loop, because he played a character in The Loop who swore an awful lot. I mean, he swore more than I do, and I swear a lot. But whenever I've seen him, and I've seen him on other things, like Torchwood, Children of Earth, he always seemed like he has like this little bit of, like, and like I said, an edge to him, you know. And I really want to see where they're going to go. This upcoming season should be a really good one, because they've got to explain what was going on with John Hurt. They've got to write out Matt Smith. They've got to introduce Peter Capaldi. I mean, this season, this upcoming season is going to be really good, you know. They might even explain exactly what happened to number 8, you know, because, oh crap, I can't remember his name now. He's the only doctor who they didn't give a regeneration scene to, you know. Sylvester McCoy, who's actually one of my favorite doctors, regenerated into this guy. Oh, this is going to bug me. I can't remember the name now. And then he just disappeared, and then Eccleston showed up, you know. So, and I was, when the first Eccleston episode, Rose, happened, I was really kind of hoping that they would show a regeneration scene to start the whole thing. But, maybe now they'll explain why they couldn't, you know. I mean, we know why they couldn't, but why they couldn't in terms of the show. Anyway, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I think that his doctor will be less like Matt Smith and probably more like Eccleston, but without all the smiling. You know, I don't think he'll be as goofy. I hope he won't be as goofy, you know. But quite frankly, personally, I hope that Stephen Moffat passes the baton on to somebody else and he goes and makes a bunch of Sherlock, you know. Although I think, I have nothing to back this up with. This is totally irresponsible speculation on my part. But I think that this next series of Sherlock episodes will probably be the last, because Benedict Cumberbatch is really popular now. All right. So I think that he'll be on to bigger and better things, because there is no regeneration in Sherlock Holmes. Anyway, yeah, and then he has something else. I'll let you guys go to the website and read it, because I have a meeting that'll start in about 2 minutes. Thank you, Rick Hansen, for the feedback. And like I said, anybody else, if you want to leave feedback, go right ahead. Audio feedback, or as you can see, comment or email, they're all welcome. There are no stupid questions, unless, of course, the question is, Derek, why don't you like wacky stuff? In which case, I'm just going to respond with, quit being stupid. I want to move on with the rest of my day. No, I won't. I'm not that mean. You see, people think I'm mean. But I'm not, you know. I'm going to be real serious for a second. I try to treat everybody with respect. And when if you meet me face-to-face, one thing I think that really surprises people is how soft-spoken and polite I am, simply because I don't believe that I need to raise my voice to get my point across, so that if I do raise my voice, you know, I really mean it. And I'm polite because that's how I was raised, you know. Anyway, hope to actually get out to some conventions in the Detroit area. Comic book conventions mostly, but I don't even know if we have any kind of sci-fi thing. I don't know. I have to check into Detroit Fan Fair because I know that's coming up, and I will probably be going to that. But anyway, if you ever meet me, say hello. I do not bite. I've got dental work to get done, so why would I mess it up by biting somebody? Anyway, thank you for listening, and I will be back soon with another episode. I'm gonna go see.